Oh yeah, it's time to ride with Electric Pete, where the wheels are clean, the vibes are high, and the future's fully charged. We've got that rideshare love. No gas, just go. Full charge, full power, now let's roll. Hey everybody, it's Electric Pete. And today, we've got an absolute monster of an episode. A Philly sports super show. Because joining me is someone whose voice has powered our mornings, fired up our fan base, and driven the heartbeat of this city for years. And today, he's here with something brand new, something every Philly fan needs on their shelf. His brand new book, The Best of Philly Sports. But before I bring him in, I want to give you a countdown. Number three, Philly's Morning Maestro. Number two, the voice of the fan. And number one, my favorite, the hammer. So introducing the real deal, author, broadcaster, and Philly legend, Joe DeCamera from WIP Sports Talk Radio. Let's go. Welcome, Joe. All right, excellent. Well, Joe, thank you very much for coming out and being a part of Electric Pete. I'm so very excited to have you here. And I want to read one thing. You know, my podcast is a podcast where rideshare meets gratitude and growth, turning everyday rides into extraordinary stories. So, we're not in my car, but this will certainly feed to people who are in my car, who check out the podcast, and I think that's really great. So, now, Joe, we're reviewing the book, and my gosh, it's downstairs in the living room, but I have a copy of it, and I kind of summarized it myself, but what inspired you, all right, to write the book?
Well, first off, thanks for getting a copy. I was going to give you a copy. But I appreciate you getting one.
Yeah, no, no.
The inspiration was my nephew, Ryan. It's a two-part story. So the first was I was talking to my nephew. This is around 2013, I believe in 2013. Mm-hmm. And Ryan was about 9 or 10 years old at the time. Very knowledgeable, very passionate sports fan. And we were talking about basketball, and I had referenced Dr. J. And I just kept talking and, you know, to the next point, the next sentence, the next whatever, next player, whatever. And I saw that he had this really glazed look on his face. And it took me 10 seconds to realize. And I said to him, I said, hey, Ryan, you don't know who Dr. J is, do you? And he didn't. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he didn't know, you know, I mean, you think about it, Pete, if you're talking about basketball, the next thing, and then, you know, you're 10. And the next thing you know, a doctor comes into it. Like, is that like an actual doctor? Is that a who? Is that a what? Like, what is a Dr. J, right? So,
right.
You know, it was a moment that certainly got my attention, in part because, you know, Ryan knows a lot about sports, but didn't know Dr. J. So it just kind of struck me as interesting. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks later, I was in my mom's basement, your aunt, my mom's basement.
Right.
And we were beginning the process of cleaning my mom's basement, you know, to, you know, kind of facilitate her move. And I came across this book that my older siblings would have grown up on. I didn't know it. I wish I knew it as a kid. Right. I had never seen it before. It had been buried in our basement for years, but it was a book from the 1970s. It was a book primarily geared toward younger sports fans. And it featured probably in the first 70 or so years of the 20th century, all the great sports figures, you know, big national sports figures. Mm-hmm. So, and it wasn't, you know, each chapter was kind of short, but yeah. It was, you know, a chapter, a page on Babe Ruth, a page on Jackie Robinson, a page on Willie Mays, a page on Will Chamberlain and Jim Thorpe and Jesse Owens, and like, you know, Gordie Howe and all these amazing players and people. And I thought, wow, what a book, you know, what a book. And so then when I saw that book, I thought, you know what? I actually think I can write this book. I can write this book about Philadelphia sports for Philadelphia sports fans and gearing it primarily toward younger fans. So that's what I set out to do about 12 years ago. And, you know, there would be years I would write a lot. There would be years I would write very little. But I always kind of had it in my mind to, you know, hey, I'd like to get this project done. And so, you know, as it kind of both during the process and got near completion, while it is primarily written with sort of 10 and older in mind, I also wanted to write it in a way that it can work for adults. Obviously, you know, you being an example, I appreciate that you've enjoyed the book. And so the idea was to write it in a simple but not so simple way. You know, it's not Green Eggs and Ham. You know, this is not, you know, a book for a 5-year-old. I mean, it's got a lot of meat and potatoes to it. But I think a 10-year-old can enjoy it. I think an 80-year-old can enjoy it. So that was kind of the thought process behind it all.
Oh, wonderful. Well, so what message do you hope Philly fans take from it?
Well, that we got a great, rich history. You know, that there's a lot to be proud of as a Philadelphia sports fan, specific players and specific teams and by extension organizations. You know, look, there's a lot on the negative side also through the years. I didn't feature that. I referenced it from time to time. I think it's important to, I'll give you, for instance, when the Phillies won the World Series in 1980, it was their 98th year of existence. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time the Phillies had ever won the World Series.
Right.
So I think it would be silly if I had written that chapter without referencing that. That's part of what made it such a big deal that the Phillies finally won. So, of course, you got to write in that chapter that reality. So by extension, there's a negative in there. But the book is, you know, 99% positive. I mean, the book is about our greats, Reggie White and Bobby Clark and, you know, Donovan McNabb and Brian Dawkins and Saquon Barkley and, you know, all these incredible figures we've had and teams, the 70 Flyers. I mean, not all the teams that won, of course, because, you know, we don't have that many teams that have won at all. But we've got teams like the 01 Sixers and the 93 Phillies and the 87 Flyers and the 2022 Phillies who got to the World Series. I mean, we've got teams to be proud of, even if they didn't win at all. And so I would just say, what stood out to me, both with the intent behind it and what I think we executed, was to, you know, show Philadelphia sports fans that there's a lot to be proud of and there's a lot to celebrate. And maybe more than anything, for the younger audience to sort of, I don't like to use the word educate because I think it almost sounds like a kid's back in a classroom. I don't want to put a kid in the classroom. That's not my purpose. To entertain the younger folks with stuff that, you know, Pete, for instance, you and I were entertained by, or our grandparents were entertained by. And so just to just say, hey, this is our history and it's a great history and it was really cool. And even if you weren't alive during 90% of this, you too now can enjoy it. That was kind of the idea.
Okay. That's great. So now, I mean, my goodness, you've probably done this before. So, but are there any behind the scenes stories that really stand out for you?
You know, I was familiar with pretty much everything in the way in, you know, I mean, obviously there were some specifics I had to look up, some facts you have to look up. I would say most hardcore sports fans would be familiar with pretty much all of it. I mean, I'll give you a, for instance, I did not know, but again, there's not a ton, but I'll tell you one I didn't know. So the book is broken up into six chapters, not chapters. Let's call it sections, six sections. So I've got a Phillies section, Flyers, Sixers, Eagles, the Big Five, and then this group of others. And that means not those five. And that would be the Joe Frazier types and Bernard Hopkins and Smarty Jones and Kathy Rush with Immaculata and all these great things. One thing I did not know, the Philadelphia Warriors, and I have a chapter on the Warriors, they won what is considered the first NBA championship. I didn't know it.
Wow.
And it's actually a little convoluted because they played in a league that actually wasn't called the NBA in that year. But about 2 years later, two different leagues merged.
Okay.
And in the merger, the NBA was, you know, like, okay, this is the NBA. And, you know, the early goings of some leagues, sometimes they kind of make it up as they go. And what they said back then is, okay, that team from a couple of years ago, that Philadelphia Warriors team, we're going to consider that the first championship in the history of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fact I didn't know.
Okay.
As far as stories, I mean, you know, I wouldn't say there's any stories I particularly enjoy. Well, I was going to say, you know, enjoyed writing about more than others. I'll just say this. The 93 Phils and the 01 Sixers are my two favorite teams ever.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I guess there's a little something extra there for me. But, you know, I get a thrill out of all of it. And I was proud to write all of it, Pete. Like, I was just really proud to sort of put it together and just hope that people, you know, hopefully enjoy it. And maybe you're inspired by it.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yeah, so I was thinking when you were talking about the basketball prior to basketball being the NBA, it was kind of the Eagles winning the 60 championship, and that was before it was the NFL.
No, that's not right. It was the NFL.
Oh, no. All right, correct me,
it's before
please.
It was the Super Bowl. It's before it was the Super Bowl.
Oh, sorry. Super Bowl. Yeah, no. Okay. Okay.
I mean, just as a point of emphasis, and I do try to bring this up from time to time, whether it's on my show or if I'm at a banquet that I'm emceeing, because I actually said this last week. That's why I referenced that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think there's a misconception, particularly amongst young people, mm-hmm. that the Eagles have only ever won two championships. I mean, that's totally inaccurate. Eagles have won two Super Bowls, but they've won five championships.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I met Chuck Bednarik, Pete. I met Bednarik probably two or three times. And I will just say good luck to the person who would have ever gone up to Chuck Bednarik and told him that he and his team hadn't won a championship. You know, like, I would not have said that to his face.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that with all, you know, respect to, I mean, you know, I'll tell you what's interesting. The Eagles having won the Super Bowl a couple months ago, finally, after all these years, finally tied the Philadelphia A's, Connie mm-hmm. Mack's team,
right,
finally for tied them for the most championships in the history of Philly sports.
There you go.
So the A's have five, and the Eagles now have five. Phillies have two. Flyers have two. Sixers have two.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you can say the Warriors have two as well. So that's the ledger.
Wow. Well, there you go. That's a fact that people don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah. Well, what does the city of Philadelphia mean to you personally and professionally?
Well, primarily home. I mean, totally independent of the sports scene, which obviously I'm immersed in. I mean, this is my home. Mm-hmm. I never have a desire to live elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I guess anything's theoretically possible, but I certainly don't envision a likely scenario that I would move. I mean, I was in college for 4 years in Connecticut, and I loved that. You know, I loved my college and I loved living up in Connecticut, but this is my home. This is obviously where, you know, you being an example, and because, you know, we got a big family, Pete. So, you know, we got a lot of cousins and nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles and obviously my mom. So Philadelphia to me, first and foremost, is home. You know, I think it's an amazing area. And of course, when I say Philly, it's not just the literal Philadelphia, but the, you know, surrounding suburbs and all. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm from Huntington Valley, as you know. And then the sports scene is great. I mean, it's, you know, we're in an excellent time right now in Philly sports. I mean, all the teams actively playing are above 500.
Mm-hmm.
That's rare.
Mm-hmm.
Phillies, of course, were eliminated, but had an excellent team and should have an excellent team again next year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles are trying to win back-to-back titles for the first time in Philly sports since the Flyers of the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I love Philadelphia. And, of course, we have a lot of great cultural stuff, and you have the stuff from the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, Founding Fathers. So, I love it.
Which on your last comment there about Philadelphia and all the other things, I mean, I cover actually quite a bit of that in my podcast.
Yeah.
I have a segment called The Founding Fathers, which is history in Philadelphia. So
sure.
But I wanted to make a comment because you said you're away and you came back and Philly's home. You don't know how many people I run into who have moved back to Philadelphia in my Uber driving business, who have moved back to Philadelphia, and they said exactly what you said.
Yeah.
Is home.
Of course.
Philly really, really, really draws everybody out to, you know, or back to Philadelphia. So now, how do you think sports in the city, how do you think sports unite the city in ways other cities can't match?
Well, I mean, first off, no disrespect to other cities from this standpoint. I think sports is a unifying figure, you know, regionally everywhere. So, you know, meaning, you know, when other towns have their championships, they're going to have their parades, just like, you know, we here have our parades. And so it's, I think sports is a big deal, you know, everywhere, basically. I'll start with that. Mm-hmm. I think it's more, I think there's greater intensity here. Mm-hmm. I think it is in our DNA more. I think our swings of highs and lows, I would think, are probably a little bit more extreme, mm-hmm. In part because of the intensity and the passion. Look, I think it's a great sports town. I mean, you know, I've always sensed that Philly, New York, and Boston are probably the three most intense professional sports towns in America. I can't mm-hmm. prove that. I don't know it for sure, but mm-hmm. certainly the impression I get. And, you know, we're, of course, a town with four major, you know, professional sports teams. You know, not every town has that. So, you know, it's just a very, look, I'd say it's a deeply rooted thing. I mean, you know, the Phillies being an example of that. I mean, the Phillies go back to 1883. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of it this way, Pete, the Phillies go back further than our, literally you and me, than our, you know, I'd have to look it up, but I guess it would be great grandmother, mm-hmm. Coming to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If I have my history right, I think it was somewhere around 1900 or something. So it's just really deep rooted. I think that's neat.
Mm-hmm. Very excellent. Well, so, you know, and all right. So who or what do you think shaped your broadcasting style? And how would you define that?
I don't know that anybody did. I really don't. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful to anybody. I think it was more of an osmosis thing. I mean, look, I listened to WIP a ton growing up. So I'm sure by extension, there's just all sorts of stuff that I picked up on that I can't define the moment, you know, even if there was a moment. I think stuff just kind of seeps into you over time. So I'll start with that. As far as what my style is, look, I don't even know that there is a style. I mean, I guess somebody else could define it that way. I don't think of it that way. Mm-hmm. I think of it this way, I'll say. Say my opinion, positive or negative, mm-hmm. you know, be fair, but be real, authentic, and you know, let it fly. Never make it personal. You know, it's easy for me to say it with passion because I'm passionate about it. I'm sure there's some people that would say, you know, Joe's passionate. You know, it's not a style that's cultivated. It's just who I am. I mean, right. I'm sure you remember me when I was 7 years old jumping around with something good or bad. So,
well, yeah. And I was going to say that was a good training ground for anybody in sports.
Yeah.
In the family. Sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'll say this. It's independent of a broadcast style, but from a fandom thing and a passion and intensity thing. I mean, just growing up in the household I grew up in, you know, I can't tell you how many times we would be having dinner at the dinner table and, you know, me and my siblings in conjunction with my mom, you know, my memories after my father passed away, because as you know, my dad died when I was young, but right. I can't tell you how many times I remember we would be in an intense sports conversation and it would go on for a while. Mm-hmm. And then my mom would say, "Can we please talk about something else?" And believe me, she's a sports fan too, as you know. But that was her way of trying to cultivate a more well-rounded, life experience. And so we would, and often, very high percentage, within 90 seconds to 2 or 3 minutes, we would be right back into the sports thing. And then she might say it again. So, I think my interest in sports and my intensity about it, and certainly I'm sure a lot of my knowledge of it comes from, absorbing conversations and being a part of conversations with my older siblings and my mom and my dad, for the 5 years he was alive that I was alive.
Awesome.
And by the way, Pete, you and the cousins and the aunts and uncles and the whole crew. I mean,
Oh yeah, we all we had some great family parties, man.
course. And look, and grandfather, I mean, I was alive for 12 years, like 11 and a half years, while grandfather was alive. And, I remember it. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, his he loved the cheesesteaks, man. He
Oh,
made
that's
an
the
awesome
best.
cheesesteak,
Tremendous.
So any memorable or funny on-air moments that you still think about?
Well, there's tons. I mean, there's tons and tons. I mean, I'll push funny aside for a sec. I'll say memorable. My biggest on-air thrill was, and it was in my first or second year, and I was on a, relatively small radio station in Bucks County, was interviewing Joe Frazier. I mean, what a thrill, Joe Frazier. That was incredible. Because that to me is way different than most what I'll call regular Philadelphia sports stuff. I mean, Joe Frazier was a major national and international sports figure. I mean, he was, the heavyweight champion of the world when that was the coolest moniker in sports. I mean, you couldn't get bigger than the heavyweight champion of the world. So, the Frazier thing was a real thrill. I remember interviewing over 10 years ago, I interviewed together. I interviewed Moses Malone, Bobby Jones, and Billy Cunningham. And that was a great thrill. And it might have been Moses' last interview. I don't know, but he did die a few months later. So I've always wondered if that was his last interview. Maybe it was, maybe it was not. Great thrill. So, I mean, I've had so many memorable. I mean, I would say being on WIP the day after the Eagles first won the Super Bowl, so I'm going back to February of 2018. I mean, just to start that show was, incredible. The parade a couple months ago when they won the Super Bowl for the second time was incredible. So I could go on and on. I mean, I really am fortunate to have had many, many amazing experiences. And then co-hosts I've worked with. Obviously right now, John, love John, in yesteryear, I mean, shows that I would do with Jaws, with Dutch, shows with Trot. I mean, Jeremiah Trotter and I are very, very close. A lot of people. And so I'm lucky to do that. Funny stuff. I mean, there's plenty of funny stuff. I do remember the first time I talked about enjoying baths. And I could tell everybody thought I was crazy. I'm like, look, I like a bath. I mean, what do you want me to tell you? I grab a book and I take a bath,
I
like,
remember hearing some of that. Yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of laughs through the years.
Cool. Well, how has your perspective on sports and life changed since writing the book?
No, I don't know that it has. I wouldn't say it has. I would just say that I've learned a lot about the publishing industry. I mean, that's sort of independent of probably the intent that you were thinking there. But the publishing process, the distribution process, the publicity process. I'm really just trying to do my best to get the word out as best I can. It's not the easiest thing because I don't have an unlimited amount of time. I wish I could do a lot more. Talking to you today, I wish I could do 1,000 of these interviews. I mean it. But I just don't have time to. So,
I appreciate you sitting with me.
It's my pleasure. You know, I'm doing my best, you know, within reason to get the word out. Mm-hmm. And I also view this as a project that goes way into next year. You know, my goal is to sell 20,000 books.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people tell me that that's not going to happen, and mm-hmm. they may be right.
Mm-hmm.
But my goal is to sell 20,000 books through the holiday season of 2026.
Mm-hmm.
And with this book having come out in September of this year, you know, that gives me 16 months to try to do it, and I'll do my best. I also don't know, Pete, because I've had to convince myself that if I fall short of that number, it's not a failure. It doesn't really matter. You know, I mean, it's just a number I made up. I hope to achieve it, but you know, if we get to 15,000 and that's it, then that's it. You know, it's,
but you know,
I got to enjoy the process.
It's not a failure because you sold 15,000.
Well, thank
right?
you.
I
thank
mean,
you.
And you have to have a goal, right? So, and that's a lot of what I do with my Uber business and with yeah. my podcast. I have goals.
Good.
And sometimes I don't meet them, and that's okay. But look how far you got.
Thank
so,
you.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. So,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no.
Still got a long way to go to get to the 15,000, but I'm doing my best.
All right, you got it, man. You got it. And I will after our interview, I will have I will add some video in and plug the book, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Amazon.com, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Amazon.com. That's where you can get it. It's called The Best of Philly Sports. Thank you.
By Jody Cameron.
That's awesome. The idea. Thanks,
all man. Right. So now what advice would you give young broadcasters coming up in Philly?
Well, yeah, there's a lot I could say on that topic. Look, I'll start with this. Boy, where to start? It's great that people of interest, important for individuals to know, the odds are very tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there aren't that many chairs, and there's every spring, there's thousands of people getting out of college that are interested, thousands of people that get out of high school interested. So, you know, it's tough. It's just important for people to know that going in.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, you know, in the early years, and I define this really before people become a professional, but while still in school, mm-hmm. high school, college, grade school, whatever, I always encourage people, involve yourself in what you can control. Here's what a 18-year-old can't control. Can't control if you get hired by a TV station or newspaper. Can't control if you get hired by a magazine or a website. And you probably won't. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But what an 18-year-old can do is write, consider publishing it on a website that you create yourself, do a podcast with a friend, review the work you've put out, whether you publish it or not, have others that care about you, family and friends, review it, tell you what you're doing well, tell you what you need to improve on. You know, the 18-year-old can do video work, simple as on a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Grab a phone, pretend you're on SportsCenter, mm-hmm. you know, do some good, fun, creative, have fun with it, but mm-hmm. also try to get better at it.
Right.
And, you know, so get reps in, get feedback, create a portfolio so that then when you do apply to high school, to college, you've got a better shot maybe at being that editor of the newspaper or involved in the campus TV station. Same thing applies when you come out of college. The more you have, the more you've done, the better shot you'll have to land that first job. Might not be in Philadelphia. There's a good chance it's in a smaller market. Develop relationships, be aggressive, but also be reasonable, be mm-hmm. willing to make not much money for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's important to be good. You know, it's important to be good. People, I've said before, I could try to be the second baseman of the Phillies from now until the end of my life, and I'll never be it. I'm not good enough. I'm not. So it's important for people aspiring for this industry to look inward and really be reasonable about what they bring to the table, and but also have fun with it and be ready to commit to it, knowing that you might need to decommit from it a couple of years in if it's just not happening for you.
Okay, wonderful. Now, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, I have something I call the electric heat signature round, okay?
Let's do it.
So what are you grateful for today?
Family.
Mm-hmm.
Family. But a lot more than that. But I mean, family. I mean, it's, you know, I'm grateful that my mom's healthy and happy, and I'm grateful for a lot of things, but maybe that's number one.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. Excellent. And what does freedom through structure mean in your own life?
Well, I'd like to have a little bit more freedom than I feel in my mind. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of structure. I'm very regimented. I think in part because I wasn't to a large extent growing up. I was pretty disorganized.
Okay.
And, you know, I existed in a lot of chaos in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as I got older, I realized that it would be important for me to create structure. And so I'm very structured. But sometimes I wish I could step away from it a little bit easier.
Uh-huh.
I wish I could relax more. So, you know, when you say freedom through structure, I just wish I could turn it off sometimes a little bit more than I do. Mm-hmm. And I say turn it off, I mean turn off my brain, relax, stuff like that.
Yeah, that is valuable if you're able to take just a little bit of time, you know, 10 minutes to sit there and just let your mind wander. It's really very good for
it's important. For, look, I've said before, and I mean this sort of as a joke, but kind of not. I kind of enjoy when I'm sick. Now, not too sick, right? I mean, I don't mean too sick, but you know, if there's a day where you're sick enough to not work, and you can just, you know, turn, again, I'll use the phrase "turn off the brain,"
right?
For a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's nice to be off the grid sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, Joe, I want to thank you so much for taking a moment and spending a little bit of time with me and vis-a-vis my subscribers. Anyway, thank you very much again, Joe. You take care. Have a wonderful day. All right.
Pete, it's my immense pleasure. Thank you to everyone who watched. You know, again, obviously, you know, please consider the book at Amazon. And I appreciate it, Pete. It's really, and congrats on the show. And it's all good, man.
All right, buddy. Thank you very
See
much.
You, Pete.
Take
all
care.
Right,
I'll talk to you later, okay?
You got it, man.
All right, ciao. That was my interview with Joe DeCamera. And what a great conversation it was. Oh, my gosh. What stood out to me the most is how Joe understands this city of Philadelphia. Not just the teams, but the people, the passion, the loyalty, the expectations, the history, all of it. You can feel that in the way he talks, and you can definitely feel it in his book. Philadelphia sports are about more than scores or championships. They're about identity. They're about effort. They're about family. Joe captured that in a way very, very few people can. Joe, if you're listening, thank you again for taking the time to chat with me and my fans. And to everyone else tuning in, if you love the city the way I do, go pick up Joe's book. It's a tribute to what makes Philadelphia special. All right. I'm Electric Pete. Thanks for riding along with me today. See you in the next one. And remember, work smarter, earn cleaner, the Electric Pete way. Thank you so much for tuning into Electric Pete. Remember, every rider has a story, and it's my job to share those stories with you. If you enjoy these conversations and want to help Electric Pete grow, especially to upgrade my video and audio gear, or even for even better episodes, please consider supporting the podcast. Your generosity truly makes a difference. Check in the show notes for how to do that. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, and share Electric Pete with your friends and your family. Find me on social media or reach out anytime at electricpetepod@gmail.com. Until next time, stay charged, stay positive, and keep your eyes on the road ahead. This is Electric Pete signing off.